And it relates to the portion that that Elizabeth shared on today. You know, we've just completed Passover, and of course I spoke about that in the last couple of weeks. There's a little bit of echo here, so let's try to get it down. And now we're in the process of counting the Omer to Shavuot. And for those who are participating, please get the little flyers out in the entranceways that help us count to the Omer and for the various prayer requests and so on. But I want to focus just briefly on the themes of these two functions, Passover and Shavuot. Really, the primary theme of Passover is deliverance. And the primary theme of Shavuot is destiny. And the question is, when we were delivered out of Egypt, the question is why? What was the purpose? And we learn about that purpose when the Jewish people come to Mount Sinai and the Lord tells them that you are my treasured possession. You are called to be a kingdom of priests, to be able to be God's witness to the nations about his existence and so on. At Passover, we also see that's where the crucifixion and the resurrection occurred, overcoming sin and death. And then at Shavuot is where we are empowered to do the works of God. So the basis is at Passover, there's deliverance, and then at Shavuot, there's destiny. That's really the focus. So the key is, the focus and the key of Passover and Shavuot is to be able to learn to do the works of God. Now, I have to be honest. I think Passover is a little overrated. And I know it sounds a little shocking, but maybe I should say it's a little misconstrued, certainly in this world. Because often you hear about that the theme of Passover is freedom. But in reality, it's not. It's really not about freedom. It's really about belonging to God. And so I'd like to begin this morning focusing on right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, where God very specifically gives his reason for why he brought the Jewish people out. And this is Exodus 20, beginning in verses 2 and 3, and it says this. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. We have to, when we look at this passage, we have to realize that God, quite frankly, is a deal maker. In other words, the deliverance from Egypt was not an altruistic act. It was not without condition. It was not like God said, okay, I'm just going to liberate you from Egypt, and now you can do whatever you want to do. That was not the call of God for the Israelites. The difficulty is that when we take the Passover theme and then we try to apply it in the modern world, what ends up happening is we end up getting confused about the primary themes that the scriptures talk about. For instance, in modern Western society, the greatest goals for modern Western society is freedom. And in fact, it's best captured in the Declaration of Independence, which says, as we all know, that the primary goals are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and so on. But in the Exodus, in the scriptures, freedom is not the goal. It really isn't. What the goal of the Exodus is service towards the Lord. That's the goal of the Exodus. Now, serving God brings great reward. It brings blessing. It brings prosperity. It brings peace. It brings fulfillment and so on. But the end is the service towards God, not prosperity. In other words, we don't celebrate the Passover because we're necessarily celebrating freedom or prosperity, but we're celebrating it for God's deliverance to bring us into service to him. Now, the question is why am I even talking about this subject here today? And the reason is today's portion, which is titled Kedoshim, which means to be holy in the plural sense. And the portion begins by saying, be holy as the Lord, as I am the Lord your God, is holy as well. And then following that statement, there's a whole list of do's and don'ts. There's things like, we're supposed to honor our parents. We're supposed to observe the Shabbats. We're supposed to make the proper sacrifices. We're supposed to leave the corners of the fields for the poor and so on. These are the kinds of things that we heard from Elizabeth today. And then there's a bunch of don'ts. We're not supposed to steal. We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to defraud other people and so on. And so it's easy to come to the conclusion that holiness is a bunch of list of moral commandments. But it's really not. Because really what the Lord is saying in this statement when he says, be holy for I am holy, is he's saying, look, you belong to me now, and so you're now to act like me. You belong to me, now you're to act like me. And so what is the focus? The focus is not on freedom. The focus is not on being a good, upstanding person, both of which are fine things. But really, the focus is belonging to the Lord. In a sense, he bought you. When he took you out of Egypt, he bought you. This is the meaning of redemption. To redeem means to buy back. In this whole story of belonging to God versus doing all these specific things that supposedly please the Lord, like the way we often understand holiness, is best reflected in the story of Mary and Martha in the New Testament. Now, many of us are familiar with that story, but just quickly, what ends up happening is Yeshua goes into the home of Mary and Martha. They're both sisters. And now, if the Son of God shows up in your house, you want to present things nice, right? You don't want it to be a mess. I mean, let's be honest. Here's the major macher of the Jewish world coming into your house. And so Martha appropriately starts scurrying around the house, getting everything in order, cleaning all the dishes, making everything shine and so on like this. Mary, on the other hand, is just sitting at the feet of Yeshua, just listening to him. Martha's running around. Mary's just sitting at the feet, listening to Yeshua. You know, it's like sometimes when we have a husband and wife situation, and the wife is working in the kitchen and the husband is in front of the boob tube, right? And what happens? The wife gets kind of upset. And that's exactly what happened in the case of Martha. She looks down at Mary, and you know, she doesn't say it, but in her mind, the scripture says that she's thinking, what is she doing? Doesn't she realize all the work that I'm doing and so on and so forth? Then Yeshua said to her, said specifically to Martha, being able to read her thoughts, he said, Mary has chosen the better way. Martha was the upstanding person, but Mary belonged to the Lord. That is what real holiness is. Real holiness is belonging to the Lord. It's fine what Martha did, but the key is belonging to the Lord. It reminds me, like I said before, what a husband and wife, the husband might do everything for the wife except what she really wants, right? And so what most want in marriage is they want the other. They don't just want the other to do things for them, but they want the other. That's the whole point. They want them to belong to them. That's why often there's allusions in the scripture about when God's relationship to his people is often viewed as a marital relationship. In other words, it's a goal is to belong to him. You know, within marriage comes fulfillment, but it also there comes boundaries, as we all know. In other words, when you're married, you can't belong to other people. It's somewhat restrictive. And so it is too with God. When we belong to the Lord, we can't belong to others as well. That's the key. That's why the greatest commandment, as was spoken here this morning, as Paul, when he first prayed over or spoke over his daughter, Elizabeth, he said, he quoted the scriptures saying that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your might. So in other words, everything is to belong to God. You see, God wants you. He wants all of you. That's the whole point. We can say we belong to him, but when we do say that, he's going to test it. That's the reality. He's going to test whether or not we really belong to him. This was really brought home to me in a very powerful way a number of years ago, long, long time ago, when I was in college. And what happened in that situation was I was a relatively new follower of Yeshua. And I'd come from a Jewish background, kind of a secular Jewish background, so I never really knew God and so on. But after I came to know Yeshua, I was really dedicated myself to the Lord. And it was about a year and a half later, I was in college, and during the spring break, the group that I was with, they were calling us to go down to the beaches in Florida to serve the Lord in Florida and so on during the spring break. Now, the problem was that I had a girlfriend at home, and I really was looking forward to seeing my girlfriend. And so I was trying to kind of ignore the requests about going down to Florida for the whole spring break when I'd missed my girlfriend and so on like that. So finally, one of the leaders approached me, and he said, "So, Jamie, are you going?" And I said, "No, I'm not really going. I don't really want to go, and so I want to see my girlfriend." He says, he asked the famous question, "Did you ask God?" Now, I knew there was going to be problems, you know, and I was afraid. But, you know, when you're confronted with this question, you have to say, "Well, I haven't, but I will." You know, you can't say, "I'm not going to ask God and claim to be a believer." You know, that would be gross. So I said, okay, I'll ask the Lord. So I said to the Lord, "Lord, if on Sunday my girlfriend calls me in the dorm..." Now remember, young people, there were no cell phones in the 1970s. I hope you understand that, okay? In fact, the only phone was on the floor of the dormitory. So it was outside your room and so on like that. And so I said to the Lord, "Lord, if I'm supposed to go to Florida and give up this time with my girlfriend, then have my girlfriend call me here on Sunday." And so, now she had never called me. ever since I'd been in college. So I figured that was an easy one. And by the time I kind of forgotten about it, it was now nighttime, I was getting ready to bed down and so on like that. And this is a true story. I know it's going to be hard to believe, but this is really true. 5:12, midnight, the phone rings in the hallway. And I hear it ring, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. You know, I didn't know who it was, but I kind of knew who it was. I could see it happen. All of a sudden, somebody answers in the hallway. There's a knock on the door. I said, Jamie, the phone is for you. I'm going, oh my Lord. And so I pick up the phone. There she is on the phone and everything else. And then she makes the famous statement. I don't know why I'm calling, but I just felt like I should call. And I was like, oh no! You know? What am I supposed to... That means I'm going to have to go. I have to give this thing up. So anyway, I went through this whole thing. We talked for a few minutes. I was totally bummed out. And so, of course, the leaders knew that I had prayed this prayer. They said, well, what happened? I explained to them. Said, so you're going. And I said, well, no, because I don't have any money to go. They said, well, you need to ask the Lord for the money to go. So I asked the Lord for the money to go, hoping it would not come suddenly. Checks suddenly showed up just like that. Bingo, I was out of that. Then they said, so what happened? Oh, the money came in. Now it was getting close to when I had to make a commitment. So they said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I can't really go unless my parents give me the green light. And I figured that was a sure thing. Here my folks were. They hated my faith and so on. Like, they would never allow me to go down to Florida to serve God on the beaches of Florida and so on. It's such an affront. So I thought that was an easy one. So when I went home for a short little break beforehand, I mentioned to them. I said, well, Mom and Dad, I said, I was thinking of going down to, you know, work on the beaches in Florida, serve the Lord and so on and so forth. I said, okay, fine. And I was like, what? What is going on here? And so finally, I was really struggling because, you know, you think it's pretty obvious by now what God wants you to do, but I didn't really want to go. I mean, just bottom line, I didn't want to go. So finally, I made up my mind. I'm just not going. That's just it. I'm just not going. And so the leaders came to me just like the day before I had to make a decision. And they said, Jamie said, so what are you going to do? And I said, I'm not going. And they said, but I thought the Lord told you to go. And I said, it's clear, but I don't care what God says, I'm not going. And they just went, oh. Now, I had not known the Lord long enough to know what happens when you say no to God. But it was going to be trouble, right? It was going to be trouble. So the next night, the day we had to make a decision, I went to this meeting. And the leader spoke about the story of the multiplied loaves and fishes. And as you remember, the story goes, Yeshua's teaching, and everybody's hanging out, and they have no food, and all of a sudden, the disciples say, you need to let these folks go home so they can get some food. And Yeshua says, you give them food. They said, well, we don't have any food. They said, well, just go out and collect what you can. And so this little boy happens to be carrying 5 loaves and 2 fishes, obviously, to provide his family. And they come back from this little boy, and they have these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They said, this is all we got. He said, okay. And then he began to just divide the food over and over, and fed 5,000. And the point of the message was this. Even though we have so little that we can give to God, when we give it all to the Lord, even if it's a little, he can multiply it many, many times over. I was sitting in that meeting, and I was going, oh, my God. This is so much for me, you know. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I will go. I will go. And I went to Florida. It was a life-changing experience. I mean, I experienced so many incredible things down there. I don't have time to go into it. But the whole point of the story is that when you say you belong to God, when you really give him, see, he's, you know what? God is not satisfied with 95%. He wants 100%. He wants all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. See, that's what the Lord wants. And when we really give it to him, and he tests it, and then we prove it, you know what God does? He blesses us. He shows his faithfulness to us. He shows miracles into our lives, and he transforms us when we take that kind of step for the Lord. That is the whole point of the story. When push comes to shove, will you give all to him? That's the question. Do we really belong to him, or are we just mouthing it? And I want to close with what the Apostle Paul says about this whole situation about belonging to God from 1 Corinthians 6. He says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. I want us to repeat that line. You are not your own. Let's say it again. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, both at the Exodus and then through what Yeshua did for us on the cross and his resurrection. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, Father, for your challenge to us, that we would give all to you, that we would belong to you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for young people like Elizabeth, Lord God, at such a young age, stands up here and testifies to you and all that you can do for us, Lord. Father, let her example be an example to what it means to really give all to you. Lord, to surrender 100%, to see you empower us and to transform us, Lord God. We are not our own. You bought us with a price, Lord. We want what you have. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room who's never said yes to Yeshua, who's never made him Lord and Messiah. Even though you may not fully understand it, if you feel the tug at your heart, all you have to say is yes to the Lord, yes to God, yes to him as being the Messiah for the Jewish people and for all the nations, O Lord. And Father, we know that you've come to deliver us, Father, not only physically from the Egypt, but also spiritually from sin, sickness, and death, O God. We thank you for all that Yeshua did, for all that you do, O Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen and amen. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. The bookstore will be open. We have Oneg downstairs. Make sure you greet Elizabeth downstairs, and thank you for coming. Amen.